Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Magical Learning Podcast this week. Over December and January, we're doing an exciting special edition podcast to celebrate Danette's first book, The Adaptable Leader. If you're on Spotify, you can see the cover of it right now. I'm holding it up. We are doing a special podcast where Danette's talking to people who have been adaptable leaders in various different spaces. There's some people you'll remember from the Magical Learning Podcast, and there'll be some new faces as well and some old friends. This is a really great podcast, and it was recorded before the book was actually finalized. So there's bits of the podcast in the book, but we highly recommend you go check out that book as well. We'll be back with regular Magical Learning podcasts in mid-January. But until then, this is an amazing little bonus podcast project we've set up for you. So as always, enjoy and have a magical week. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Adapt podcast with Danette FM. Danette, how are you going this week?
Awesome, Jez. Always awesome. Yeah. Otherwise, we've got choices. I always choose awesome.
Now, for people that are just jumping into this episode, the Adapt podcast with Danette FM is a sort of companion piece to the book The Adaptable Leader by Danette Fenton-Menzies. Danette FM, Danette Fenton-Menzies, the same person. We're going to be talking about how you can adapt as a leader, but not only in business, in life as well. So today we're going to be talking to Cherie, who sort of has a bit of a futurist type look at things, and we're going to be talking about the evolution of work. This is really exciting because it doesn't just play with the ideas of AI, but it talks about how people can work differently sort of in the future, which I think makes this a really interesting conversation. Danette, did you have any thoughts before we get started into the conversation about the future of work and talking to Cherie?
And, you know, obviously part of being adaptable is knowing that the nature of work and the future of work will be different from how it is today. And even if we think before COVID, where working from home was seen as weird, you know, now it's normal and now is hybrid work. So, yeah, it was a great conversation with Cherie, and yeah, can't wait for people to tell us what they think about the conversation.
Awesome. Well, I think without further ado, let's jump into this. So everybody, enjoy Danette's conversation with Cherie.
So, Cherie, I'd love for you to introduce yourself to the group from Adapt with Danette FM so they learn a little bit more about you before we start.
Great. Well, thank you so much for having me, and hello to all of your listeners and viewers. So I'm Cherie Mylordis. I regard myself as a work futurist, which is a fairly bold claim. I'm also a coach, and I work in the intersection of purpose, leadership and culture, and transformation. And so I really love where all those things come together, because I think that's where we really can lean into creating a better future through the way we work and the way we lead. So, yeah, I've been working in the space of change and transformation for several decades, and now I have my own business called NextGenify, where I work with leaders and teams around the world to help them really shift their work to be more future fit. Yeah.
Love that. Great introduction. And so this season is Learning Through Disruption, so it's perfect to have you on as a guest. And I'd love for you to share some insights that you found that help you to adapt.
Sure. I think being adaptive and adaptable is absolutely critical. And there are many words and techniques that come to mind. I think one of the biggest ones is to have a growth mindset. So, you know, I love Carol Dweck's work, which is all about, you know, shifting from that fixed mindset to that growth mindset and being open. And I think it's also about leaning into our strengths, but taking them further and getting just a little bit beyond our comfort zone. And that's where I have found that I've always really learned the most and grown the most. And you look back on that and you think, wow, look how far I've come, and look how adaptable I've become. Look at the new skills or experiences I've developed. And so if we stay within our comfort zone, it's too safe. We're really not exploring and realizing our potential. So just getting not too far out so it's terrifying, but just that little bit beyond the end of our fingertips, if you like, and exploring new things, leaning into new opportunities is where I think that zone of, it's their zone of proximal development is, I believe, the term for that. So yeah, that's my big tip and my big insight that I've found over the years.
Nice. And I love that. And it's definitely one I share as well. So it's awesome. Yeah. So then, you know, part of stretching beyond what we're comfortable is that from time to time we're going to hit failure. So I'm curious, you know, how do you deal with failure? And perhaps give us an example of where you've used that in some way to learn.
Another great topic. And I think this one, it's a little thought-provoking, and I think that you can be quite provocative in how you think about failure. And I think one important way to frame it that I've learned is to actually try and remove that word failure as much as possible. Because, you know, we've gone beyond the days of when we're sitting an exam and there's a pass or a fail, right? I mean, you know, of course we might still have assessments and accreditations and things like that. But in general, I find it's very rare that we really need to use that term failure. And I'd rather use the term learning, or thinking about how can we grow from this? How can we adapt? How might we respond to this? And so if we really try and take away that mindset of have we succeeded or have we failed, I think that's really the big shift that can really change the way we approach. And we can often be so hard on ourselves and, you know, set that expectation that everything has to be polished and perfect. Whereas if we can, in the spirit of Agile, if we can just get something going, and it might be a little rough and ready, but that's okay. And even say it's rough and ready and test and learn. And then that helps you evolve your solution rather than saying, well, I've created this great thing and I now have to shift and change. And I think the biggest example I would love to share on that is my experience in the Sydney Olympics. So, you know, this is a few decades ago, of course. It was the Sydney 2000 Olympic and Paralympic Games. And I actually joined 5 years out. So you might not realise that it takes many, many years to organise a big event like that. And I remember feeling beyond excited when I was hired to join the strategy team for the Sydney Olympic Games, but also terrified because I had never been to an Olympic Games before, let alone organised one. And so that feeling of, you know, fear of failure was very real. But what I learned was, you know, I was in a team, in that strategy team of people just like me who had that sort of consulting background and, you know, we were able to adapt and we worked on a variety of projects. So we just treated it like a big, exciting project. And so as Olympic rookies, we just had to figure it out and we had to work together. So we really radically collaborated. We really didn't work in those traditional sort of, you know, boxes of job descriptions and the hierarchy. We were given a lot of autonomy. We were empowered and we just had to work together to figure this out because nobody could do it on their own. And so that was really a defining moment in my career to actually learn to step up and embrace this enormous opportunity that was very purpose-driven. So it really fueled us. And what we learned was, you know, it wasn't about trying to get it all okay by the day, by games time. We actually had to run a lot of what we call test events, but they were actually real events. So it might be a national championship, it might be an Asian Games, it might be a world championship. But every venue, every sport, every discipline, every procedure really had to be tested before games time. And of course, at games time, different things happened as well. But really, that was how we delivered what was known to be the best games ever. That's how the Australian Olympic rookies came together and achieved that. So I think that's really set the tone for me from then on, that, you know, you can take on something really bold and courageous and you can lean in and really do that. But you need to do that with other people in a collaborative way.
Oh, what a great answer and what a great example too. Love, love, love that. When I think of failure, when I was younger, I used to call them mistakes. So I'd laugh at myself because it wasn't a mistake, it was a mistake. And then I go, learn from that.
Yeah, see, have some fun with it as well. I think that's a great point. Don't take it all so seriously. We put so much pressure on ourselves sometimes.
We do, don't we? Yeah. All right. Now, my next question was, what would have happened in that situation, or perhaps another situation, if you hadn't have adapted?
Well, if I hadn't adapted, I wouldn't have had the exciting experiences and opportunities that I've had. I would have stayed in, you know, my sort of original discipline, which was change management. And so, you know, that's a very interesting area of work. It's always different and changing, but I've gone well beyond that. You know, I've embraced all these other disciplines. So, you know, agile and design thinking and transformation and innovation and coaching. So, you know, I've evolved and I've grown, and I think I bring more value to the work that I do because I have explored all these other disciplines and blended them all. And so I draw on, you know, tools and tips and insights from all these disciplines every day. And so I think I would have perhaps a more two-dimensional view to my work, whereas because I've gone and searched and explored these other areas, I think I bring a more three-dimensional view. I can help my leaders that I work with and clients and teams look at things from different perspectives because of those experiences that I have had. So, yeah, that's how I would articulate it.
Nice. And I love that. And, the, you know, the more you add, the more of those dimensionalities, however you say it, that you can bring, because you bring such a unique perspective, the more you add to the different skills that you've got. So what a great insight. Love that. Now, my next one is thinking back to your old 25-year-old self, which would have been 2 weeks ago, because we both know. What sort of advice would you give to them if you were talking to them now about, you know, how to be a better adaptable leader?
Well, I was really, really shy. I think when I went through university, I was too scared to ask a question in a lecture because I didn't want to look silly. You know, it's like, you know, other people might know the answer to that. And so you're just going to look silly if you're asking that question. And I think now the reflection is, if you've got that question, other people probably do too. And so they'd probably appreciate you asking that question. So, you know, back yourself, I think, would be the biggest advice I would give to my younger self. And be bold and courageous. And it's okay if you feel a bit daunted or a bit terrified, because if it's driven by some kind of purpose or meaning that resonates with you, then go after it. So don't hold back, would be my biggest advice. Yeah.
And some practical ways that you built that, you know, that boldness, that confidence, given you were very shy when you started out, what are some simple things that perhaps some of our listeners could start to apply?
I think it's about being curious. So just approach things with curiosity and ask open questions. So, you know, people love it when you show interest in what they do or what they're good at. So, you know, find forums and channels where people hang out that you know, talk about or, you know, explore things that you might be interested in or fascinated by that you'd love to learn more about. Go hang out where those people are and be curious. Ask open questions. Look at what other tools and resources you can explore there. You know, there's so many amazing podcasts now. So, you know, you might find, oh, I don't have time to read, but you know, you can have a podcast playing when you're going for a walk or when you're in the car, and there's audiobooks. So there's so many ways now that we can actually, you know, be more bold and curious and take steps forward beyond the safe space that we might be comfortable in.
So you mentioned, you know, hanging out in spaces, and I'm curious, is there a couple of places that, you know, again, might help some listeners to build that confidence or to think a little bit more, you know, broadly than they currently are thinking?
Well, there's so many amazing meetups. So if you go on meetup.com and just put in some keywords, you'll find that there are both online and in-person meetups where people hang out on all sorts of amazing topics. So that's always a good one. I'm a member of OSTTA, which is the Australian Transformation and Turnaround Association. So that's where a lot of transformation professionals hang out. I'm actually one of the founding members and a fellow of OSTTA, which is wonderful. So, you know, there are places where people like you hang out. So whatever it is that you are, it's your area of specialization or an area of interest, try and figure out where they hang out. So that's one. I'm part of some global innovation groups. So again, you just got to be a little creative, and it's not too difficult to find. LinkedIn groups, there's fantastic LinkedIn groups on all sorts of themes. And just reach out and connect with people, and don't be afraid to just reach out and invite a connection and type a little message in that tells them why you've connected and what you're interested in. You might be surprised on the response that you might get. And I've actually had people approach me on LinkedIn and ask me questions. And, you know, you get a lot of spam. I get a lot of people trying to sell me things, but there's also some genuine people that are passionate about a certain thing. And you know, it's really lovely for people to reach out and to see that people have a passion. And I'm always very happy to respond to them. And that has sometimes led to, you know, other sorts of, you know, working relationships by people doing that. So, yeah, again, be courageous. What's the worst thing that can happen? Someone doesn't answer you. But what if they did? Imagine what that might lead to.
I love that. And it is such great advice. And I didn't know about the first one, so I've just learned something new as well, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Now, a question which I hadn't given you, I know I've added a couple as we've gone, came up in the last podcast and I thought it was really interesting. So, you know, part of adaptability is obviously sometimes it's good news, but sometimes you have to deliver not so great news as well. And I'm curious, sort of any advice you've got for leaders who are looking to adapt and may have to deliver some not so great news?
Well, I think it's always important to frame it. So it's important to make sure that there's context. I coach a lot of teams to pitch ideas, and I think there's always a positive that you can find, right? So there's a particular design thinking model that I love, which is called Rose Thorn Bud. And so whenever someone is presenting something or pitching an idea or coming up with something, I would always try and look for the rose, like what is good about it? What are the thorns though? What challenges do I see, or what might, you know, stand in the way of you achieving this? And then what are the opportunities to either address those thorns or those challenges, or other opportunities that might be something to consider to make it better? So, you know, if we can try not to just deliver the bad news in isolation, but frame it in context, then it's a far more effective way of communicating and engaging. So, yeah, I use that framework a lot. I use it in learning labs or retrospectives where we might have a debrief on something, because, yeah, there might be some things that didn't go to plan, but you can usually always find strengths. And so it's putting it in perspective, I think.
No,
I see the sunshine shining on me. I'm just trying to move. So.
Gorgeous.
I'm enjoying the winter sun, but I don't want it to
have
any spotlight on me.
We had our first huge frost this morning, so I'm like, oh, it's a gorgeous day, but yes, that cool. Now, the next question was, anything else you'd like to share, you know, that would support leaders who are thinking about how do I adapt better?
Yes, well, gosh, there's a lot that I could say on this because it's one of the areas that I'm really focusing on at the moment. I really do believe that this is an important time in the evolution of work. I think that, you know, as we're all emerging out of quite a disruptive few years, and, you know, the whole world is really grappling with, you know, what is the future of work, but also, you know, there's some really big problems that we're facing. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of ambiguity. And I actually believe that many organisations are stuck in outdated models where people are sort of in their box. It's like, this is your job description and you just do what's on that job description and you have to ask permission to step one little toe out of that box. And, you know, we're often in this sort of top-down organisations where we're told what to do from the top, decisions are made at the top. And it's really hard to have a voice and contribute beyond that. Yet when we see organisations that do sort of, you know, blur those boundaries a little, create some opportunity for more autonomy, more initiative, we can see extraordinary things happen. So I think in terms of being adaptable, I would really encourage leaders to think about how might they be more adaptable so that they can really bring out the best in their people, or a purpose, or, you know, is there a problem you're trying to solve? Is there an opportunity you're trying to create? How might you create that, you know, that opportunity or that challenge in a more broad way so that you're giving people an incentive or, you know, an opportunity to lean in and contribute to that in their own way? So I think there's an opportunity for leaders to be far more adaptable and perhaps let go of some of that authority that they're hanging on to. How might they share that and see what happens? And I also think that people that at any level can also think about how might they be more adaptable. So how might they, you know, contribute to the purpose or the impact that your organization is trying to do? Or how might they go after something that they really care about, whether that be directly or indirectly in relation to your role? So I think if we all can sort of perhaps be a little more open-minded and, you know, really try and connect the dots a little more, we can perhaps adapt from some of these more traditional ways of working that perhaps don't serve us anymore. And when we do that, extraordinary things can happen, and you just never know what might evolve if you do that.
It sort of takes me back to your answer about the Sydney when you're Olympics, when you're all sort of learning as you go, and that more collaborative model. So how do you find those strengths of others to bring it out so that when you're collaborating, you're getting the best out of everyone in the group?
Well, I think whatever the bubble is you're working in, so in a particular team or in a particular function or area, it's important to establish trust. It's important to establish, you know, some shared values, whether it be some sort of charter or code of conduct. But how do we show up together? How do we respect each other? And what are we here for? Like, it's really important that the why is clear. Why are we working on this thing? What is it that we're really trying to achieve? So again, that purpose, that context, that, you know, some people call it a golden thread that, you know, ties up to the overarching direction of the organization. So you really need to have that context or that why. Then it's about, as I said, what are the sort of rules of engagement? How do we show up together to try and bring out the best in ourselves and each other? Certainly leveraging people's strengths, but also supporting growth and, you know, exploring new things. So I think that's really important. So yeah, really being a little more daring, being collaborative, so that you are prepared to be a little more open. You're not just trying to put on that front of I've got this, I know what I'm doing. If you can drop that a little and be a little more authentic, that's where you can really open up more, you know, more ideation, more thinking, more initiative. And really being open to questioning, is this the best way of doing it? Should we be having all these back-to-back meetings? Or, you know, perhaps there's a different way of communicating or collaborating. Maybe we can be more organic across different silos. Maybe we can bring more cross-functional teams together or people together. So yeah, just really questioning. Don't just do it because this is the way we've already done it. Really be a little more courageous in exploring that and having a conversation about that, and just taking small steps that, you know, you might not even need to ask permission for. You know, should we perhaps communicate in a different way? Could we meet in a different way? Could we explore talking to some different people? You might be surprised what you can do without actually having to ask for permission. So I believe that there's opportunities both from the more senior levels of an organization at that leadership level, but also really within any bubble of work, there are opportunities to explore and adapt and just think differently and be a little more contemporary rather than stick to those ways that things have always been done. So yeah, be curious and spark those conversations.
Love that answer. What a great answer. Thank you so much. Anything else you want to add? It's been a great conversation.
Oh, thank you. Well, I've come up with a model that I believe is a way to spark anyone to think about how might they be more effective at work and how might they perhaps bring in some more future fit ways of working. And I call it the 3Ds. So, and it really is about working in 3D is perhaps another way you can talk about it. So my 3Ds stand for dare, ditch, and dial. So dare is about really being more daring with that purpose, that direction, where are we going and why, and really being clear about that and being a little more bold and courageous. The second one is ditch, which is about, you know, discarding outdated ways of working that no longer serve you and thinking about, are these things slowing us down? Are they really fit for purpose at the moment? And then the third one is dial, which is, you know, dialing up more contemporary ways of working, more modern collaborative ways, you know, breaking down boundaries and really exploring ways to be more future focused so that we can, you know, bring out the best in our people and deliver great outcomes that are purpose driven. So that's the 3Ds.
Love that model. And I'm sure some of our listeners are going to want to find more about you. So where's the best place for them to reach out to you? And we'll make sure this is in the podcast description as well.
Mm. So LinkedIn is the place where I hang out the most. I'm not big on other social media channels. So LinkedIn, I think, is a great place for professionals to hang out and connect. So, yeah, please connect with me on LinkedIn. You can check out my website, which is nextgenify.com. And there'll be, you know, continuing to be more resources and information shared on that website as well. So those would be the two places.
Thank you so much, Cherie. It was such a great session. I love learning. And I learned a couple of things in this that I didn't know about before. So that's always a great podcast.
My pleasure. It was lovely to be here. And yeah, I really do invite your listeners to connect with me on LinkedIn. I would love to hear from them. And yeah, I think this is a fantastic podcast. I love the theme and I can't wait to, you know, follow these podcasts and see what your other guests have to say.
Nice. Thank you so much.
And what an awesome conversation that was. Thank you so much for that, Danette. Absolutely loving these ones. What did you find about the conversation or any sort of comments you had there?
I love the breadth of Cherie's experience. And I love that what she does, and I'm going to read this so I get it right. She works at the intersection of purpose, leadership, culture, and also transformation. And they're four massive words for organizations about how they get future fit in terms of work, in terms of leadership. I love the share she gave about how she started out with the Sydney Olympic Committee and they were all new and pretty green and they worked together to create great collaboration. So no one really knew the answers. So they collaborated together to create something amazing. They tested it and refined it till game day. And one of the things I love about Cherie is the fact that she's interested in a number of different disciplines. So she's explored those and then gone, you know what, that gives her multiple perspectives when looking at particular challenges. She's got a breadth of experience. I definitely encourage everyone to go and have a look at her website and the work that she does. Another fabulous interview.
Fantastic. Yeah, and we loved that one as well. Now, of course, as part of the Adapt podcast, we do have listener questions for people that are sort of in similar situations or maybe just sort of related situations and sort of have a question for you, Danette. So, Danette, this question comes from Chris and he asks, how do I stop feeling left behind or immature when compared to others my age?
Nice. And what a great question, Chris. So thinking about, you know, we're all different, so we all bring our own strengths. And one of the things that Cherie talked about was know your strengths and then start stretching yourself. So don't stretch yourself, you know, massively. Little stretches over time, you know, create that, you know, you just continue to grow and learn. And the discomfort of that stretch sort of becomes a normal feeling over time. So one thing I'd always say is comparison is the thief of joy. So never compare yourself to others. But what I would compare myself with was how I was yesterday. So have I grown a little bit since yesterday in order to be able to continue to stretch and grow myself? The other thing that the podcast Sherry and I were talking about was that whole thing about collaborating. So one of the ways that you can grow in different areas is to collaborate with others. And so that sort of, it's not just you then learning something, it's a group of you working together and stretching and growing each other. So that's a nice safe way of actually learning. It also obviously builds your team building skills, all those sort of things as well. So I think that's important. And I really liked Sherry's approach to the world, which was exploring different disciplines. So you don't always have to go long and narrow on one discipline. So you might be interested in, I don't know, leadership for argument's sake, but you might go, you know what, I'm also interested in philosophy and I'm interested in transformation. So explore those, because there'll be intersections across all of those that'll actually grow your skill and knowledge in a way that no one else has. So you'll bring different perspectives because of that exploration. And Chris, just keep learning every day. You'll be astonished how quickly that builds up and builds your confidence. I hope that's helpful.
Absolutely. And I think that's really, I think that's a great tip to stay adaptable in general for everybody, yes. Even if you're not feeling behind. We get into it in some other ones later podcasts that people can check out. So stay tuned. But yes, great tip there, Danette. Well, Danette, do you have any final thoughts today on the evolution of work or any final thoughts on the conversation?
So work ultimately is people often with, you know, technology and that. If you can bring the best out in your people by, you know, staying open to what they might see as work, different ways of working, and be open to new trends around work, you know, trial them. You know, there's a lot of organizations at the moment looking at 4-day working week to see how they can get results from that with their people. And, you know, technology, don't be afraid of it. Bring it in where it can support others to be more effective and more efficient in their role. And ultimately, your people, when you look after them, they create great workplaces, which create great future workplaces too.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Danette. For everybody that is staying tuned in, we've got plenty more episodes coming, so subscribe, share them with your friends. But until next week, have a magical week.